Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Jesse. That was awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
We so enjoy the Word of God around here. It's the Word of God that changes us, that teaches us, that helps us. And so in everything we do, I mean, when we sing songs, we like to pick songs that have a lot of the Word of God in them, you know, a lot about the Word, different phrases that different verses that we see, we put those in song. Why? So that we can kind of get it ingrained in us.
Amen.
And then when we receive an offering, we look at the Word. Why?
Yes.
Because we don't want anything we do in life to just be something we do,
right?
Especially when it comes to the
Amen.
things of God. We want to have intention and purpose in what we do. And so we look at the Word when we take an offering. You know, you might have already had your offering prepared. You have your tithes, you know. Because of the nature of my husband and I, our business and the different things we do, when income comes in, I try to tithe immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because I know that by tomorrow I could spend it six other different ways if I don't tithe right away.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I'll just move it to that account as soon as that check clears, you know, in my account. So I understand that sometimes when we come on Sunday morning, like, we already gave, you know, I gave at the office, you know, like I gave my tithe earlier this week for that very reason. Before I hit the bills, I had to, you know, move that into the tithe account. So I understand that, but we still look at the Word because it feeds us and it helps teach us why we're doing what we want.
Yeah.
We want to not just be willing and obedient, but we actually want to prosper.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
Amen.
We actually want it to work in our
Amen.
Lives. And so we
yes.
need
Amen.
Him to teach us these
yes.
things.
Amen.
So thank you, Brother Jesse. That's awesome. Glory to God. He's so good. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter? We are going to spend some time in the Word today. We've been looking at some particular verses for several weeks now, and we're going to keep going with these for a while, it seems like,
mm-hmm.
since I can't get off of the the first part of this. But all of the Word is good for us. All of the Word benefits our lives. But there's certain scriptures, there's certain things that of our utmost importance. And what we see is when we look at the New Testament as a whole, of course, that's written to us as the church, the
yes.
New Testament.
Amen.
You know, Old Testament, well, that was it's all good. It's all written for an example to us, but that's not directed to us, the Old Testament. It's gives us some helpful hints, and we're going to look in the Old Testament today at some men of God. But the New Testament letters in particular, the ones that Paul wrote, what Peter wrote, what James wrote, those letters are actually written to the church, which is still us, you know?
Yes.
Back then, it was written to the early church. We're kind of later down the road, you know, by about 2,000 years. But we're still the church. And so we pay particular attention to these things because that's where we're supposed to live. This is to us when we read these scriptures. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes. Amen.
That's just an amazing statement.
Yeah.
His divine power. How many believe that God is powerful?
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
He is powerful.
Yeah.
He's big. He created this world. He created this universe.
Yeah.
And His divine power, it says, has granted something to us.
Yes.
It's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to his own yes. glory and excellence. So we've been granted all things, and you might say, well, that's great that he gave us all things, but I don't seem to have all things that I desire or want. So there's a disconnect somewhere. Well, it comes through knowledge. It comes through knowledge. All things that God has for us, it comes through knowledge of him and of his word. And so it comes through knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Where does this knowledge come from? His promises. From the word. His knowledge comes from the word. Praise God. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you. I've been up a long time. I got up super early this morning, not by my choice, but I was awake. And so I just spent some time partaking of his divine nature. Oh, my. Just yes. fellowshipping with the Lord, meditating on his scriptures, listening to, I listened to a video of a service that where God kind of invaded the room. And I just kind of helped him. I just listened to that and marinated in his presence. We can partake of his divine nature.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Amazing. And when we do that, we escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Yeah.
We can live in this world, but not be of this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
But it takes some effort on our part.
Sure does.
It takes some redirection. We can't just live like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, and expect to partake of his divine nature.
Right.
We've got to be partaking of his nature. We've got to be interested in his world, in his realm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. So we see this, that just believing that he's got divine power, just believing that he's granted to us all things, just believing that we can partake of his divine nature, that's not enough. What do I mean? Just having faith in God, apparently, according to this scripture, is not quite enough.
Yeah, right.
Right.
There's a lot of people that believe God is God, that God can do a lot of big things,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're not experiencing a lot of benefit from that belief.
Right.
Yeah.
So for this very reason, we are to make every effort to supplement. What's a supplement? It's something you add.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
It's getting time to plant flowers.
Yes.
Not quite time because we got to get through the May hailstorms,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. But it's getting time. And when you plant flowers, I have yet to get something to grow in the ground here in Colorado.
Yeah,
I plant flowers in pots, you
yes.
know. Why? Because I can control the soil.
That's
I can
right.
supplement that soil.
Right.
I can buy soil with Miracle-Gro, right? Like you can buy
yes.
soil that already has the vitamins and nutrients that those plants need already supplemented. I can buy supplemented soil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vitamin-infused, packed, right? It's got what it needs, the nutrients those
That's
plants
right.
need to thrive
yeah.
and to grow. So Peter was telling the people that he was writing to, and he was writing, if you read in the first couple of verses, he was writing to the people that were scattered abroad, like people that weren't necessarily right there with him in Jerusalem. He was writing to the different Christians that were already throughout the region, and they were starting little pockets of groupings where they were starting little home churches and getting things going. And he wanted to have this letter circulate to help them to grow.
Yeah.
And he was telling them, it's not just enough to believe that Jesus did what Jesus did, but you've got to add something to your faith, your belief. And the first thing we see here, he says, you need to make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, this word virtue here, we've been talking about this, ministering on this word for, or this characteristic, this trait, this part for several weeks now. This word virtue is also translated in other translations, excellence. Really, when you look that up in the Greek, it's talking about moral excellence. Moral excellence. What's that? That's excellence on the inside, right?
Amen.
Knowing what's Amen. Knowing right from wrong.
Amen.
And choosing to do right.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And last week we had an interesting time. If you weren't here, you're welcome to go back. We have a podcast. You can listen to those messages. But last week we read quite a bit of scripture. And wow, we were just talked about, we looked in Proverbs a little bit. And we were actually talking about the adulterous woman. And how in Proverbs there's a lot of scripture that talks about warnings and telling the young men, be careful, don't let your guard down, don't get around places that you're not supposed to be, because the enemy that will be out there, the temptress, somebody is going to be out there trying to tempt you to cross your boundaries of moral excellence. And although we were reading about one particular subject, it translates into many different subjects. Why? Because we see all of us are made up a little bit different, right? Your personality is a little different than mine. Your likes and dislikes are going to be a little bit different than mine.
Yes.
But the enemy is willing to stick with you long enough to find out what will tempt you to step out of moral excellence and start acting like the world.
Yes.
And so this is an important subject. And if we can get some of these pillars of the faith, this making every effort to add to our faith virtue, moral excellence, if we can add moral excellence to our lives, our faith will grow.
Amen.
Yeah. And that which we receive from God will grow. So it's an important subject. It really is. So, praise the Lord. Notice I'm not reading the rest of these verses because I will keep preaching here instead of keep reviewing here instead of moving forward. So in these past couple of weeks, we have looked at a couple different things in the Word concerning this. Really, the one thing we looked at is we looked at Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. We looked at his life and what he did in the Old Testament. Of course, Joseph was a young man who was sold into slavery. My goodness.
Yes.
And he was sent, he was sold to a man named Potiphar, who was part of the Egyptian army, one of the generals of the Egyptian army.
Yes.
And Potiphar saw that Joseph was blessed, had favor on him from God. And everything that Joseph did while a slave seemed to prosper. And so he worked his way up the ranks in Potiphar's house until Joseph was in charge of the whole house. He was in charge of the house. And I mean, when it talks in Genesis about how he was in charge of the house, I just have to imagine this wasn't like a two-bedroom apartment.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
I mean, he was a general of the Egyptian army. And it says Joseph had worked his way. He was over all the other servants. He was over the house. He was over the land that they had. He was overseeing everything. And we saw Potiphar's wife took an interest in him. The Bible told us he was a pretty handsome guy. And Potiphar was away a lot. So I think Potiphar's wife said, hey, let's get something going here. And the Bible tells us that Joseph wouldn't even blink. Right? We're not going to turn there, but I'll just remind us that in verse 10 of Genesis 39, it says, and as she spoke, the Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen. She was inviting him to her bedroom.
Yeah.
Talking about moral excellence. Yes. As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. That's interesting. He wouldn't even cross the line to be with her.
That's right.
To be alone in the room with her. Mm-hmm. Let alone go to her bedroom. So we saw this about Joseph. His moral excellence, his integrity, allowed him, it gave him a backbone, so to speak. It gave him the strength to say no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he had some excellence about his spirit, because he had a very definite right and wrong sense of right and wrong from God. Yeah. He was able to say no. And the Bible says that Potiphar's wife came to him day after day after day.
Yes. Amen.
And every day he said no and he walked away.
Yeah. That's right.
And you might think, well, he was blessed for it. Well, he was blessed for it, but according to the world, he actually wound up in jail.
Yeah.
Because Potiphar's wife got so mad that he wouldn't acknowledge her and agree to her requests that she lied and framed him.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was thrown in jail. Listen, moral excellence doesn't need the acknowledgement or the praises of the world.
That's right. Amen.
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 Moral excellence doesn't do the right thing just when they're being seen. Somebody who has integrity will do the right thing every time, whether they're being seen or not being seen. Joseph did the right thing even though it cost him his position. And you might think, I'm already a slave. What does it matter? Well, a slave over a household is a lot better position than being in jail.
Yeah.
And yet he chose that. It wasn't his choice, of course, but because of the things, he went to jail. But we saw Joseph rose in the ranks of the prison.
That's right.
That's amazing. To where the prison guard just let Joseph handle everything.
Yeah.
Pretty nice for the prison guard. He didn't really even have to go to work. He's like, Joseph's there. He's got it handled. He's got everything taken care of. Why? Because Joseph's integrity to do the right thing, no matter what the world has put, where the world has placed me.
Yes.
No matter how low they've tried to make me, my insides are not going to adapt to the outside.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You understand, with God, we can partake of his divine nature, which is integrity, which is excellence.
Yes.
No matter what situation we're in the world.
Yeah. Yes,
that's right.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what we drive, where we live, where we work.
That's right.
If we'll maintain God's excellence, we can be promoted.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And we can live above where we actually live.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise him. So today, I really want to take some time and look in at another man. He's pretty cool. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, another man who the Bible spotlights his integrity, his moral excellence. And like I said, these books in the Old Testament, we have these are precious accounts of people's lives. And the reason they're in here is for us to glean things from them, see how they conducted themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that Joseph wasn't a Christian and Daniel wasn't a Christian, but they were part of the people of God, right?
Yeah.
They were Israelites, and they were part of the people of God, and they served God to the best of their ability in their situations. Daniel chapter 1, hopefully most of us are familiar with this, but in verse 1 it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So we're getting here a little history lesson about what's going on throughout the scriptures. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and the Chronicles, we see the nation of Israel. We see it born, and we see it fall. The reason the nation of Israel fell was because they refused to serve God.
Yes.
And so this book, Daniel, it's taking place right here when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, starts taking over the entire region of that area, that Middle East area there. I mean, just he's going for it, and he's taking country after country after country. He's taking land, and he gets to Jerusalem and he takes Jerusalem. And when he does, he pulls most all of Israel. He pulls most all of the Jewish nation. He takes all those people back to Babylon. And so when you hear different ministers talking about it, we call this the Babylonian captivity. Right? Where they uprooted all the people. They left a few of the poor people to work the land, is what they left. But they wound up taking, and this was a process. It took some time to get everybody to Babylon. But what happens here is Nebuchadnezzar commands that anybody who has some smarts about him, he wants all these young men to find out who can add, who can read, who can write, you know, who's got some intellect about them. And I want you to gather all these men. And it wasn't just Israelites. I mean, they were conquering whole nations all throughout. I mean, this is an empire. If I pulled out a map, it gets quite large what Babylon had back then. And so he's gathering all these intellectual people. And he says, I want you to put all these young men in a school, in the palace, and train them. And this is going to be a several year period of time. It says actually 3 years they're supposed to be trained. And they're going to be trained in languages, in all different different things. Of course, back then, they were, tell me the right word for the stars, astronomy. Astronomy, astrology, I always get it wrong. But anyway, those. See, I wasn't one of the people they chose to go to the king's palace. But so in verse 3, it says, the king commanded the chief eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, both of royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food, that's kind, and of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. Wow, that's actually pretty generous. I mean, these are our slaves that are being pulled in from their captives, and he's giving them a portion of his food. It says they were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names: Daniel, he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah, he called Shadrach, Mishael, he called Meshach, and Azariah, he called Abednego. So throughout this, you're going to see different names, right?
Yes.
But verse 8 is what we want to look at. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. Notice that, defile himself. We're talking about moral excellence or having integrity. And when we get to a situation and something on the inside tells us, that goes against what God says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I say this, I'm going against what I know inside is right.
Yeah.
And Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself, go against what he knew was right in his heart with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Now, is the Bible teaching us that food and drink, like king's food, is bad?
No.
Actually, no. But we understand this: for the Israelites, they had a code of what they could and couldn't eat, right? They didn't eat pork. They didn't eat anything out of the pig, right? Sorry, no bacon. Whoa, sad. We're Christians. Praise God.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Yeah.
But you know, there were certain things that he was not to partake of because of the law of Moses.
Yes.
And Daniel knew that, and he decided, he resolved, even though that's what they're giving me to eat, I can't go against what God's taught me. Therefore, I love this. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. So Daniel has enough wisdom to ask. We're talking about integrity. We're talking about moral excellence. But there's an excellent way to go about being excellent and serving with integrity when it comes to your employer, when it comes to the chief eunuch, wherever you find yourself, and something comes up that is going to go against what you know God has told you to do. There is a way to be excellent in this situation. And there was a way not to.
Yes. Amen.
Notice what Daniel didn't do. Daniel didn't freak out and go on a starvation strike, right?
Right.
He didn't say, I can't eat that. I refuse. He didn't start yelling at people. He didn't pitch a fit. He didn't fall down and start crying and say, I miss Jerusalem. I want to go home. I want my mommy. I want my daddy. He resolved in himself, I can't eat all that. And so he went and asked. Brilliant. But, you know, sometimes, why are we going so slow on some of these things? Because I don't think, I've just watched behaviors. And I've seen, of course, this isn't our first church. We had a church in New York for many, many years. And I've watched different ones conduct themselves, different believers. There's a right way to conduct yourself with your boss.
Yes,
that's right.
And there's a wrong way.
Yeah.
The right way? If there's something that goes against what you feel in your heart is correct, we need to talk about this graciously. Praise the Lord. That's different than our American rights, where we just, bless God, I'm going to tell them, you've got to give me Sundays off because it's the law.
That's right.
This is a different way of going about things.
Yeah.
But we want to do things God's way.
Right.
So he approaches. Okay, this is our first verse, guys. Okay, he approaches the chief eunuch and asks, would you allow me not to defile myself? I love how he said that. Would you allow me to serve my God the way I need to? Mm-hmm. And verse 9 says, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. What happened? Because he asked properly, because he approached with humility and said, would you please just, I'll do whatever you ask, but if you could you excuse me from eating this? Because it goes against what I feel is right. Mm-hmm. And because he asked properly, and we might not have to do this with our boss, you know, according to the word of God, you know, we might not have to, but ask for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. How do I deal with this situation? I've worked many a secular job, and there's always going to be personality conflicts. There's always going to be difficulties with what comes down from headquarters, so to speak. There's always going to be things that you think are just dumb. Rules that don't make any sense, and yet you're not in charge. They are. And so the things that don't defile your integrity, you've got to just swallow hard and follow your orders, even if it seems stupid. Listen, when I went to Bible school, I worked at Walmart. I love Walmart. I'm thankful for those years I worked at Walmart. I learned a lot at Walmart. And I learned that sometimes headquarters doesn't realize what's really good on the ground at the store. And they would have us totally change out, you know, those center aisles where they put all the, you know, different things in their little bins. They'd have us totally change the whole thing. We're going to do all, you know, this. And it made no sense. And you were thinking to yourself, as soon as we do this, they're going to change it back to the way it was. But you understand, that's not defiling my integrity.
Right.
And if they've made a request and they're paying me to do it, then I get to smile and say, okay, this will be fun. And you change it all out. And 2 days later, guess what happened? Change it back. We made a mistake. Well, fine. They're paying me to do what they ask me to do.
That's right.
It wasn't defiling my integrity.
Right.
And therefore, my mouth needs to stay shut. Oh, this is helping us today.
Helpful. Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Being excellent is knowing when to say something and when not to.
That's right.
But in this particular case, with the king's food, it was going to defile Daniel's beliefs. And so he approached the eunuch humbly and asked. And God was giving Daniel favor. And verse 10 says, the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. He's saying, the king told me to feed you this. This wasn't my idea. I'm just following the king's orders. And he has more, he knows more about the king's attitude and personality than Daniel does. Daniel's the newbie here. And the chief eunuch is like, look, if the king's upset that I didn't do my job, it's my head. Literally. That comes off. I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head, there you are, with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, oh, such wisdom he has. Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Now, I'm just going to put in a little newsflash here for us. Mm-hmm. This is not the required diet for all of God's people for the rest of the earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, if God deals with you to only eat vegetables, become a vegetarian, in other words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And only drink water, well, that's between you and God.
Yep. That's right.
But this is not a scriptural precedent for all of God's people.
Right.
We have many other scriptures in the New Testament that tell us that we can eat anything.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so just saying that, so because... But for Daniel, he was saying, listen, just prove us. Just test this out. Give us 10 days.
Yes.
Only veggies. Wow, that's strict. But only veggies,
strict.
Only water, and see what happens. So verse 14, he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, it was seen with their eyes. They could see that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh. No, that's a bad diet right there. Fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of this time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all of his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. This is amazing. Because Daniel stood for his integrity, because he didn't defile what was in his heart about his diet, because he stood strong and talked to the chief of the eunuchs and gained favor, God was able to bless them in really the vocation that they were finding themselves in and raise them up in the ranks of all these youths that they had gathered from all these different nations. And now we have these four at the forefront. And it says that the Lord made them 10 times better.
Yes.
Yeah. 10 times better.
10 times better.
Than anybody else that was trained in those years. But what I know, a lot of times we, you know, if we have different school age kids and stuff, we'll before school starts at the beginning of the year in August or September, we'll call the kids forward. We'll lay hands on them. We'll thank God that they can be 10 times better than, you know, than the rest of their class with God's help and God's wisdom, which is true. But there's something before the 10 times better that we see here. And that is Daniel had moral integrity. He stood in an excellent fashion and he wouldn't defile himself.
Yeah. That's right.
And because he kept his insides clean, so to speak, meaning he didn't go past what he felt God wanted him to do, God was able to bless him.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To prosper him.
Yes.
To bless his mind and give him wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It was pretty amazing. So Daniel was raised up to be 10 times better. If we know, and you can read through some of Daniel this week if you have time. It's amazing. The next chapter, it talks about how Nebuchadnezzar then has a dream. And it frightens him, but when he wakes up, he doesn't remember the dream. Have you ever had that happen? You wake up and you're like, that was a wild dream. And someone says, well, what was it about? And you're like, well, I don't really remember. But it was wild. And so Nebuchadnezzar calls all of his magicians and different things and you know, these knowledgeable people. And he says, I want you to tell me the dream I had and then tell me the interpretation. And they're like, yeah, right. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, no, really. It's your head if you don't tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. Mm-hmm. And they're like, nobody can do that. Well, long story short, we're not going to read through this whole chapter, but Daniel does do that.
Yeah.
Daniel's like, don't kill everybody. Just give me a day or two. Let me get with God. And sure enough, God reveals to him the dream. And then it says that in verse 48, after Daniel gives him the interpretation of this dream, it says, then the king gave Daniel high honors, many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And then Daniel made the request that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be put over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And Daniel remained in the king's court. What I want us to see here, and I really thought we would get through this morning, but we're not. What I want us to see with these first couple chapters is that because Daniel had integrity about what God had dealt with him for his own person, for his own body, right?
Yeah.
What to eat, what not to eat. Because he made adjustments and asked God for favor in that arena, God was able to raise him up and elevate him in his natural vocation at that point, which was a wise man. That's kind of cool. We don't call them that anymore in our government. I would like to see a whole group of wise men.
Yeah. Amen.
And these are the wise men. I mean, I think that's what we are supposed to be, our cabinet, but you know, that praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for wise wisdom. Yeah. Glory to God. But Daniel was able to raise up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were also be able to raise up in these things because they didn't defile themselves. Because they had excellence about them. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to look at more verses in Daniel, but it's not going to be today. So there's some things already that we've seen about excellence. With Joseph, we've seen that excellence, moral excellence, helps us repel the world. Right? It's almost like, for my birthday, we were pretty busy. We were flying out of town, and we didn't have a lot of time to do a lot. And my husband said, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, you know, we've got a lot going on. Let's just leave it be. And then we were out doing something, and I had to grab his sweatshirt to go outside because, you know, it's April in Colorado, so it's snowing. And I said, I love this sweatshirt. I said, I want to get one in my size. And he said, let's go right now. We're going to get it. It'll be a birthday present. And I was like, it was a Carhartt sweatshirt. I don't know if you know what. So we went to Murdoch's. We bought me a Carhartt sweatshirt.
Sweet.
In my size. Well, sort of. It's a men's small because they don't make them for women. Ridiculous. But the reason I like the sweatshirt is it's super warm. And they call it a rain defender. So even though it's a sweatshirt, it repels the water when you're out in the snow or the rain, right? Integrity will help you repel the world.
Yeah. Amen.
Moral excellence puts fiber on the inside of you, puts strength on the inside of you. And it's like when the world comes, it just kind of slides off. Mm-hmm. When you turn on the TV and something comes up, my husband and I tried to watch a movie the other day. I was like, oh, you know, it's a war movie. He likes war movies. And, you know, sometimes those are rated R because there's just a lot of blood and guts and... But it's war, that's what war is. So we turned this on and we made it like 6 minutes, maybe. Maybe 7 minutes. And it was just like language and this, and it was just crass. It was just off color. It was just not necessary to ingest. But because we've trained ourselves and there's so much on the inside of us, it's so easy now to just click it off.
Yes.
Why? Because that stuff just kind of repels. I don't sit there and think, well, I can just sit here and keep watching it. I used to be like, if I got partway through a movie, I'm like, well, it's bad, but I want to see the end. Why? That's your flesh. It has to see, you know, it has to continue through to the end, right? It wants the whole thing. And then once we've watched the whole thing, then we'll decide if we'll ever watch it again or not.
Oh.
Right? Then we'll decide how good or bad it really was. Not in like star rating, but how morally good or bad it was. Once we've seen the whole thing, your flesh will always want to take it all in. We're going to stay for the whole party.
Yeah.
And then decide whether we should go back there next weekend or not.
Yeah.
But once you've built on the inside of you that which God wants, it's like that Carhartt sweatshirt. It just, you can go out in that weather, but it just slides off.
Yes.
It doesn't permeate anymore. It's easy to say, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Not going to defile myself.
Yep.
Not going to let it in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, moral excellence will help us in these areas. It will help us repel the world. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave the rest of my list for next week. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for all that you've taught us in this series. Thank you for your word, for the examples that we have in Joseph, in Daniel, and in others, Father, where you show us how to conduct ourselves, how to lead our lives with integrity, with moral excellence, and how to use this to add to our faith.
Yes.
We're so grateful that you can help us and lead us and guide us in these areas. Show us how to walk in greater measures of integrity. Show us how to be strong in these areas and be an example to the world of who you are and what you've made us to be.
Yes.
We thank you for it today.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.